today on Real Radio.
God reveals when somebody's goofing off or about to goof off. God reveals it. And you might think, oh, that's impossible. I don't believe it. I don't think God cares that much about the church. And you're being like Ananias and Sapphira because God speaks.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Sin Within the Camp, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The New Testament Book of Acts was written by Luke, who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In chapter 4 of the Book of Acts, in verses 23 through 31, we learned the three basic ingredients of having a church, Jesus style. A church needs to pray as they prepare for any situation that arises. A church needs the Word of God for spiritual understanding and growth. And a church that prays and studies God's Word together will stand united in their faith. Now, in Acts 4:32 through 5:11, we'll see how sin, if allowed to continue, can destroy a church from within. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Satan will attack a healthy church when pride enters the heart, as it did with Ananias and Sapphira. But when the Holy Spirit is alive within the church, the sin is exposed, and the opportunity for repentance is given. And now, continuing his lesson called Sin Within the Camp, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Peter cares about the church. Peter goes on to write in his later Christian experience, "Pastor, shepherd the house of God. Be diligent about it." Satan has come in like a flood in this situation to Peter's eyes. But what do you think the body is feeling? Oh, gosh, maybe they'll invite us over to dinner today. Oh, look at Sapphira. Isn't she just awesome looking? She's such a neat woman of God. Always has a smile. She's just so sweet and wonderful. Hey, man. Satan was using these two people to destroy the church of God. Samuel was warned not to judge according to appearance. We need to be so careful. We're not to look at people like that. Peter lowers both barrels and shoots. Ananias believed that God was not near this church. He didn't practice the presence of God in his life. He didn't realize that the church was Jesus' delight. And so what's happening here, the very sin, is not that they lied. It's not that they said something about it. It's that they acted out a lie. They were the epitome of hypocrisy. Here's what it means. They sold the land or the possession for $10,000. They bring in $10,000 into their pocket. They keep $5,000. They take $5,000, go to church, and put it in the offering, stating that we've sold a possession and we got $5,000 for it. Isn't that neat how we're given everything that God's given to us? We really love God. We're really devoted. We lift our hands in service. We say, "Lord, all to Him I owe." We say, "God, I'm in love with You." But we don't give Him a thing. I'm not talking money. Oh, praise You, Jesus. "Lord, I love You. You're my King and my God." Listen, A.W. Tozer says, we Christians don't tell lies anymore. We just sing them in church. We need to be careful what we're saying. Ananias sold it for $10,000, put $5,000 in his pocket. That's not the sin. He could have kept $9,999 for himself and given a buck, and that would have been fine with God. The fact is that he acted out a lie. Barnabas gives all. So Ananias is coming up and pretending that he's giving all. That's the sin. It is defined as an exaggerated devotional life. An exaggerated devotional life. And that, if you're alive this morning, ought to convict you. Well, I really encourage you to come to Friday morning prayer where we gather at 5:30 in the morning. Well, aren't we spiritual? I can't make it to the 5:30 prayer time like the rest of the super giants of the church. Hey, listen. How often I'm guilty. And how often you are guilty. Well, I was in prayer and the Lord spoke this to me. Oh, man, what an awesome man of God. Hey, if you're in prayer, keep your mouth shut about it. Well, while I was fasting for the last couple of weeks, God began to speak to me. And look, we have to watch out. Well, I know I'm nothing. I know that I didn't do this miracle of raising this man from the dead. Don't look at me. You see that on certain Christian TV stations. Don't look at me like I did it. It was God. All the time they're pointing at themselves, you know. An exaggerated devotional life. That's what Ananias and Sapphira are doing. And God will not tolerate it. Lucifer did that, you know. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 says that Lucifer was the worship director of heaven. Got up there, led those guys. What an awesome creation he was. It says in those scriptures that his hands were tambourines. Isn't that a trip? Shake his hands and go, shh. And out of his side were pipes where music came out of. So when he walked, it went, you know. Everywhere he went, there was worship, there was praise, there was music. That kind of explains the rock and roll scene we see today, doesn't it? He's the minister of music. And while he's leading the worship, he's saying, man, these angels can sing. They are great. How you liking it, God? Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, I'd like to get a little bit of that myself. In fact, I'd like to be like the Most High. In fact, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above God. I will sit in the congregation of the north, said Lucifer. And God says, you're going to eat flames down south. And Satan was ripped out of heaven because of pride in giving, pride in worship, pride in knowing God. Pride entered his heart and destroyed him. John 8:44, Jesus says there that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of them. When you tell a lie, when I tell a lie, well, it's a little white lie. But it's not a white lie to God. It's wrong. And the source, when we lie, is from Satan. We wonder so much. How can Peter say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in one moment say something stupid and demonic the next moment? The same way we do. We can bless God one moment and turn and say a lie the next moment. One moment our tongue is consecrated to heaven, and then our heart is consecrated to the work of the enemy. How can these things be? Serious things. The church was pure. And you might sit here this morning and say, well, you know, it's never going to be like that again. Well, you know what? Slap me upside the head and call me stupid. Because I believe it can be. Our last time together when we went through the scripture, some people said, well, how could you have done what you did? It's not even an issue. The issue is, are you committed to this fellowship being pure? And you see, we live in a community where we don't even have to worry about it. Because if somebody goofs up and whatever, I'll just go down the streets. Or I'll just stay inside my house and draw the curtains and listen to the radio. I don't need church. You know, we can't think like that. We've got to be committed together to walk after God and to love God and to express that love one toward another. Not drawing your curtains and becoming isolated from the world or becoming church smorgasbord type people. Wherever you want to go, go and get committed. And may your heart be that what I'm going to do is give this church everything I can by the Spirit of God to make it better. God will honor that. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "Sin has many tools, but a lie is the handle that fits them all." Isn't that true? Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." Truth in the inward parts. And the scripture tells us that they kept back. Look at verse 3. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit," who is God, by the way. It says so in verse 4. "To keep back part of the price of the land for yourself." He withheld. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, for God, not grudgingly or of necessity." That is, well, gosh, I just saw John put 10 bucks in, so I guess I better too. Keep your money. Keep your benevolent action, whatever it might be. But God says he loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in the Greek is hilarios, and it's where we get the word hilarious. Can you imagine? The word means to be prompted by willingness, to be anticipated with joy. Can you imagine the ushers come forward? "We're going to take this morning's tithes and offerings." "All right! Where's the plate? I've been waiting all week. Hallelujah!" And you drop your little nickel in there and praise the Lord, hallelujah, and be hilarious. People go, "Man, what a Pentecostal church." God says he loves a hilarious giver. If you can't give your nickel without joy, let me put it to you this way. If you gave your nickel without joy this morning, see me after the service so you can have it back. Because God loves a cheerful giver. If you're going to be a care bearer, I have to qualify this. It's not a cartoon. The care bearer is a ministry here that is a meals ministry to those that are in need. If you're going to be a care bearer, do it with joy. Don't knock on somebody's door and say, "Well, here's your spaghetti. Take your buns. Here's the salad." Forget it. Who's going to eat it? "I'm going to put it in their pocket and take it home. I don't want it, you know?" God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your acts of righteousness. They stink to him when the heart is not right. Don't give because you're supposed to give. Give because it's a joy of thankfulness unto God for what he's done for you. Ananias and Sapphira couldn't understand that. They knew nothing about that at all. Verse 5, "Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." I bet it did. What a deal. "And the young men arose and wrapped him up." Got some cellophane out there? Wrapped him up. This guy's ministry just died right here. "And carried him out and buried him." Now, it was about 3 hours later. No doubt she was standing in line at Nordstrom's, where his wife came in not knowing what had happened. She'd been gone for 3 hours. "And Peter answered her, saying, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for 10,000 bucks. Did you sell the land for 10,000 bucks? And she said, "Yes, for 10,000 bucks. Ooh. She should have said five. Or she should have said the actual amount. Are you with me? Not only is she, when she's interrogated about it, does she not tell the truth, but she holds on to the lie. The greater judgment fell upon Ananias. Peter just comes up and says, "Did you do this? This is such and so," and God kills him. Peter didn't kill him. The usher ministry didn't have these little Not at all. God did it. God executed judgment. It wasn't church discipline. It was God's judgment as the church was getting started. Amazing. With Sapphira, God gives the opportunity to her to say, you know what? I've been thinking about this while I was out shopping, and we sold it for $10,000 and we gave $5,000. Everything would have been fine. She would have been confessing. Verse 9, Peter says to her, how is it that you've agreed together to test? The Bible says you shall not test the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:16 tells us. But you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed their last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her with her husband. So, verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. In verse 33, chapter 4, great power. Verse 33, chapter 4, great grace. Verse 11, chapter 5, great fear. The way a church should be. And this sin was dealt with much like it was in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Just jot that down. You can look at it later. I really want you to read it later. It's incredible. Israel goes to battle, the battle of Ai, and they're defeated. David is all bent out of shape at the defeat. Men were killed. David is freaking out, bawling, crying, and questioning God. How can you do this? You told us that we're your people, we go and we get whipped. And God says, shut up and get off your face and stand up. And you see David, what'd I do? He says, there's sin in the camp. What do you mean? Achan, that's his name, Achan. And when God got done with him, he was Achan. Achan had taken of the cursed things, the booty from the foreign nation. He had taken a little bit for himself and he put it underneath his tent carpet. Nobody knew. It was a little backslide of his own. It was a little retirement program. It was a little 401 underneath the carpet. And the entire nation lost a war because of one man goofing off and not being serious about God. And you don't think God does the same thing? He does the same thing. God reveals when somebody's goofing off or about to goof off. God reveals it. And you might think, oh, that's impossible. I don't believe it. I don't think God cares that much about the church. And you're being like Ananias and Sapphira because God speaks. God will tell. God is so committed. God has spoken to me about things, and I wasn't doing anything spiritual the way you understand it. I was mowing my lawn, which I love. And God begins to speak. Not a normal place for God to speak. Or I'm driving down the street, listening to my favorite praise group, and God begins to speak. And he reveals secrets. Daniel says that Nebuchadnezzar said, God, the God of heaven, is to be worshipped. He alone reveals the secrets of men. God does this. And if you think this morning you can be back in your little sin, let me tell you, God knows there's sin in the camp. And he'll reveal it. The book of Numbers tells us, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. You can't hide anymore. And it will be exposed because God loves this church. He loves you. But he'll deal with it. And then Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, offered up to the Lord strange fire. They made an imitation of the holy fire. They said, come on, let's go to worship. Let's go worship. Let's go. Come on. And they got their priestly gowns on and they went and they brought the wrong fire in their censers to the Lord. And what happened to them? They were fried, man. They died. Dead. And Moses says, carry them out and don't weep one bit. Don't anybody mourn for these guys because they offered strange fire to God. The situation is this. When we lift our hands, and you should do it with a whole heart. When you come back Wednesday night and next Sunday, you need to close your eyes and think about the words that you're saying. So many people, you sing and your mouth's going and your eyes are looking at the light bulbs in the ceiling. And how do you worship like that? I don't know. What are we saying? We need to close our eyes and listen to the song and repeat the words if we mean it. If we raise our hands, let us mean it. But may we never, may I never offer up to you, which is before the Lord, strange fire. Something that's not consecrated to God is the definition of strange fire. Ananias and Sapphira had the opportunity and they blew it. They offered up a strange sacrifice unto God. And we'll end with this. God still disciplines the church today. There's scriptures that talk about this. 1 Corinthians 5 and other verses where Paul the Apostle says if somebody is involved in sexual immorality and they won't repent of it, he says, kick them outside the church so that Satan will destroy their body. They'll die, but their spirit will go to heaven. That's serious. I knew a man who experienced that thing, and when that happened to him, we all knew that God had taken him home because he couldn't control himself. And I want to end with this strange fire. I don't know if you got this in your mail like I did this week. Came home to a stack of mail. One of the things, I would have laughed if it wasn't so sad. We got this thing from a church building organization that said, if you send us X amount of money, we'll send you the, experience guaranteed church growth. Increase your numbers by 50% a year with the new and proven auto-inviter. You buy this system, and I record my voice. Hi, I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel, and we'd like you to come and visit us. And it dials all these phone numbers through the phone book automatically and invites all these people. And you'll have 50% church growth in 1 year. Well, you know what? I began to think about that after I got done laughing about it and realized we've experienced better than 50% growth in this church. We haven't made any phone calls. In fact, we don't even know which way we're going yet. We're still trying to figure it out. But God knows. Somebody says, what's your vision, man? What's your vision for the church? Same one Abraham had. Oh, that's noble. That is mighty. What is it? Hebrews 11, 8. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. We can build the church, or we can let Jesus build the church.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Sin Within the Camp. Thank you for listening, and a true, loving, praying, and serving church will put a stop to the sin that robs it of its purity and power. Sin Within the Camp is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here at Real Radio, we know how important it is to have a daily devotional life with the Lord. So Pastor Jack is offering devotions once a week that you can access by downloading the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet. The Real Life app also gives you a variety of resources at your fingertips, including the Real Life TV broadcast and the Real Radio daily audio broadcast. And that includes previous episodes, by the way. So check out the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.